Hello, this is John Huey with another episode of the Sober Atheist podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Michael Tingley.
Hello.
And today we're going to talk about atheism as affirmation in sobriety. It's something we've had kicking around for a little while. And maybe I want to introduce it, though, with a take and a sort of a incident I had as a result of something I was doing on Facebook a little while ago. And I was talking with some very articulate and capable friends of mine while talking, you know, texting on back and forth on Facebook. And somehow or another, the topic of atheism came up. And they started bashing Richard Dawkins and going on and on about how atheists are negative and this and that and the other thing. And that sort of fit perfectly with what I was thinking about in the context of this podcast and what we wanted to do, or maybe what we needed to do, in terms of looking at atheism as an affirmation within the context of recovery. But then again, I wanted to get back to, in terms of, you know, sort of defining what I think atheism is and isn't, I wrote a comment back to these people that were, you know, going on and on about the negativity of the atheist. And I said this to them, and I'll just read from the comment that I had there on that Facebook post. I said, add me to the list of committed atheists. Fallacy is fallacy on its face. What does not exist, what cannot be measured in the physical and scientific realm, is also obvious. Atheism is not fanatical. It's merely acknowledging the obvious. And when we acknowledge the obvious, we're actually engaging in maybe our sort of initial stages of what I want to talk about in terms of affirmation.
Okay, because, so what exactly is that obvious? What is that that's obvious to you?
Okay, what's obvious to me is, and what's very affirmative in terms of my own life, and in terms of the life of other atheists I've met in recovery, is the fact that we define our own scope and our own reality in recovery. I find that to be a very positive thing, particularly if we've had difficulties with and reactions to people that try to define our recovery in other terms. For example, people that try to define our recovery in spiritual terms, telling us that our recovery is derived from something in the Imperium, something in the other world, some little angel that's going to come down and sit on our shoulder and give us some idea about the true path as sober people. As an atheist who lives in the real world, who can only deal with what is naturally provable in reality, and in fact, defining our own scope and our own reality is really the only way forward. And it is a fact, in fact, affirmative. Do you agree with that?
I think it's definitely affirmative. Okay. And yes, absolutely.
All right.
You know, and, I mean, we put up with the definitions of atheism in, for instance, the 12 and 12 by Bill Wilson, you know, that portrays atheists as negative. They're on the dark side.
Yeah.
And that they can prove that they are on the dark side, and that there is no positive side. And that kind of negative attitude is very disturbing and discouraging, very discouraging to read that in a meeting and be told that when deep down inside, all you're saying is you don't believe the other stuff. I'm not trying to prove anything. I just don't have a belief in God. That's all.
Absolutely.
Why is that negative? Why is that so negative?
Right. And, you know, it shouldn't be a barrier to our deriving a lot of the benefits that our religious brethren do. Okay, my own opinion is that the initial decision that you have to stop drinking and using is often greatly reinforced by your admiration for the stories of others. And I derived tremendous benefit from that ability to identify with the stories of the other people that I heard in those early meetings that I went to when there was no secular alternative in Washington. You know, as I've said, you know, many times before, I didn't get to go to my first secular meeting until September of 1988. So between January of 87 and September of 88, I had to pretty much sit in those rooms and identify with those people if I was going to derive any benefit from the group. And I was fortunate enough to do that. But there was a problem with that, Michael. And the problem was, and the depressing reality was when you listen to those folks and you get to the core and you get to the end of all of those stories, many of those people, if not most of those people, almost all of those people in my case, attributed their recovery to the intervention of what they referred to as a higher power. My higher power helped me through my recovery.
Well, right? Wasn't that just kind of an easy, learned definition and reason? I mean, you know, you're told that in AA, that that's the reason, and you buy it because you don't have an alternative by simply thinking and saying, well, what about giving myself some credit? You know, and that's the stories. You mentioned the stories and how important it was, the examples that they gave us. And it's because those stories were corporeal reality. They are concrete reality. They weren't based on anything supernatural. The stories that people tell about their use and abuse and their recovery, that's not supernatural. That is the hard essence, concrete reality. And that's why it's so easy to identify and
right.
to appreciate
and
it, you know.
I don't want to take one thing away from the inspiring nature of many of those stories, all right? You know, we're using the word affirmation a lot in this podcast. I mean, that's an affirmation of the value and the utmost importance of their recovery in their lives to their progress as human beings.
All right.
But they tell you that the only way to make that progress, the only way to have that progress, is to believe in a higher power. Okay? And I never, ever, ever was going to believe in a higher power. I never, ever was going to have a spiritual life. I never, ever was going to have a moment of conversion, that conversion experience that Wilson and them were all looking for us to have. So what did I do? What was there to do? The only thing I could do was make my own journey a life-affirming example for myself. I was very lucky. When I stopped drinking and I got detoxed and I'd gone to a couple of medical doctors to sort of explain to me why my self-detox was taking a while. And I was jumping out of my skin for a few months. When I got through that period of discomfort, I immediately saw that there was just an incredible improvement in my quality of life, in my general attitude, in my feeling of your favorite word, hope, right? The feeling of hope that began to, take hold in my life. It's difficult, all right? But when we start to do this for the atheist, and the atheist affirmation in this is that without any faith, all right, you can develop the patience and charity toward others that you didn't have when you were drinking. You can start to behave in a more positive way, in a more life-affirming way toward your fellow human beings. And that doesn't have anything to do with any faith in any non-existent higher power, because you began to see how that, those very same activities within the context of those stories that you were hearing from other people improve their lives. And you learn by the power of example.
Yeah. And realizing the simplicity of it's very easy to misbehave when you're under the influence of drugs and alcohol.
Oh, man.
And it's very...
Right. Right. Okay. Now, it's not 100% cure. I mean, you can still be a nasty, miserable son of a bitch. Sober.
Oh, yeah.
I met plenty of nasty, sober sons of bitches in my 50-year business career. I'm traveling the world. I met, plenty of people that weren't drunk and were nasty at the same time. It's not.
Yeah, humans, man. Well, just human.
We even know people that haven't ever taken a drink in their lives. Spreading misery everywhere. I mean,
And some that should have. Damn it.
Yeah,
they
we should look on the front page and see such people that haven't drunk and spread misery. So, I mean, it's not a panacea.
Right.
But at least it's a possibility. Right.
Yeah.
And you can see it as an affirmative possibility in your life to try to, spread more joy than pain. It's like.
Yeah. Well, once you can observe that better behavior and consequently better relations with other people, then it's easier to just give yourself some credit and accept it.
Give yourself the credit for the effort that you make.
Yeah.
Not the effort that some mythical, impossible, incredible, non-existent thing made. I don't understand that at all. I don't get it. Actually, I don't even know why we're having this discussion at all. I don't know why the whole world isn't filled with atheists, but that's not the way it works, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's another one of those facts we have to sort of understand. I mean, I think we're in a sort of a permanent minority group. Although I think our minority group is growing a bit these days, but that's another story, maybe another podcast, and then somewhere down the line. But at the same time, we're not saying that anybody needs to absolutely do it our way. Let's not forget, even though we have this, sort of knowledge that there's no such thing as a higher power, that higher power does do a lot for a lot of people. I mean, they report that it does that. So who am I to say that it doesn't? Okay. And from that point of view, I have to respect what works in their lives. But I'm also going to respect for what works in mine. And that's where we have a little dissonance. We have a little breakdown sometimes. We have this condescending feeling that we get and we're told. And if I mentioned this before in other places, forgive me, but you know, early on, I'll never forget being constantly told that in a condescending way, sometimes with a hand on my shoulder, that we just know that sooner or later, you're going to get it. You know, I mean, that always sticks with me. What's that shit?
Yeah. I mean, I've experienced that pat on the back, like, oh, it's cute. It's cute that you're saying you don't have faith in God. I mean,
I do occasionally tell agnostics that in a joking kind of way, well, you're agnostic now, but sooner or later, I know you're really going to get it. That's sort of a joke. But these things were said to me seriously. That they were certain that sooner or later, the grace of God was going to enter my life. Because how could I have a good, affirmative, positive, productive life without their faith? How is it possible? They couldn't conceive of such a thing. You know, but we're not insisting that anybody behave or be, you know, we're not insisting that anybody have a mind meld with us and do things our way. Although we do have a bedrock, I think, and I can speak for both of us, which I normally can't or won't do. We do have a bedrock conviction in the efficacy of abstinence. That's one thing that's pretty absolute for us.
Yeah, I think so. In that sense, it's a program of sorts, and that, you know, very simple concept.
Well, it's a simple concept, and it's sort of a touchstone, and an affirmation in and of itself, and allows us, based on our belief in the efficacy of abstinence, to give non-judgmental support to our fellow former alcoholics and addicts without any sort of must. You must be this. You must be that. You must do this. You must do that. Now, on the contrary, I think we're saying you can be and do anything you want to do or be anything you want to be, as long as you're abstinent.
Well, yeah, and in a sense that is a must, but it's also a must based upon on observation. We're providing you with examples of people who are sober, who do not believe in God, and therefore there's some concrete evidence for that. And, you know, our example is that we are abstinent, and that's primary to our existence. But if you're not convinced of the need to be abstinent based upon our examples, then, you know, you'll end up just trying it and finding out. You know, you're going to do some trial and error experimentation, and you'll discover, too, that abstinence is.
The power of example, no matter how powerful that example is, for the alcoholic or addict, is meaningless without abstinence. There's no way that any sort of positive example is going to have a meaning in your or anybody else's life without abstinence. It just isn't going to be, it's meaningless. It's not going to stick. It's not going to work. It's not going to be there. And that brings us back to, you know, there's going to be a future podcast about atheism and mystery. It is very mysterious to me that despite all of the positive examples that we see when we start on this road of recovery, and we surround ourselves with fellow recovering people, that there still are so many folks that just can't get it as far as that simple affirmative stance based on abstinence is. And, you know, very important for the atheist, because that's the only way you get to reinforce your own decision about who and what you are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Unless you want to disappear in the slough of despond down that bottomless well of despair that brings you to the point where you have to get help to begin with. I mean, talk about despair. I think we were having a chat before we started recording today about how despair can take you to a very dangerous and unpleasant place.
Yes, it can.
And the only way to affirmatively stop that despair is by, you know, affirmatively embracing not only the stories and the powers of example that you see around you, but your own commitment to abstinence. It ain't easy, right? You know, but a life without these delusions, without delusional thinking, can lead to a positive, life-affirming sobriety. You don't have to engage in delusional thinking in order to be sober. Isn't that that's a revelation? Actually, I feel like I've had an epiphany here, right?
Well, I think that brings up that idea of mystery, like you mentioned. You know, I think that's one reason why people turn to an answer outside of themselves that's a spiritual or a higher power, is because there's a human need in a lot of people to have a simple explanation of things. And instead of embracing that mystery and the positive aspects of the mystery, searching for and finding a definition, a simple definition. In other words, higher power, God, belief in God, that provides a simple explanation for the mystery. Whereas I don't think we need an explanation for the mystery.
I mean, well,
you know, we could just embrace it.
I think of the points in my life where I walked from one room into another and my life changed, right? Just because of who I met or what I did. And, you know,
You can embrace that mystery. You can embrace the beauty of that experience without having a simple explanation for it.
On both ends of the spectrum, you can always say, why me? Why me? Why was I so lucky? Or why was I so unfortunate? Or why did this happen? Why? Well, it happened.
That's why.
Yeah. All right? There is no, you know, I don't want to preempt a future episode, but there is no mystery about probability theory and chance. Although the results of probability and chance to the recipient of that chance or that probability could seem very mysterious. Okay. But there is no mystery to, in the literal sense, to some of the randomness in life. And that in itself can be an affirmation within the context of our own sobriety. Just being able to accept that and to do it without this life of delusional thinking that so many people seem to think they need to engage in.
Yeah, well, I mean, some people, like you said, they need it. I mean, you know, I mean, it's...
I'm not going to transfer my rights and my thoughts and my life to anyone or anything else. I think that's an affirmative statement. What's your opinion about that?
Well, you know, you brought this up in your essay, the rights. And I think I need a little more explanation of what you mean by that. You know, the affirmation of the self, and so your personal rights, again, explain to me a little more about what you mean by those personal rights.
My personal right. Okay. My right, and this is in the, like, a litany sort of. Okay. My right to my autonomy and my thoughts without being told by someone else how to think or what to feel, which, if you read the literature and the so-called steps of some other programs, you will be told by the practitioners of those things, often, what to feel, what to think, right? Likewise, I have the perfect and inalienable right to self-determination as to my own personal course of action. My daily activities are not going to be determined by someone else.
Mm. Yeah, you're right to be who you are. You're right to be yourself.
Right to be who you are.
Yeah.
Did you know there are people in that other program, in the more extreme fringes of that program, that has no name, with two initials that begin with the first letter of the alphabet? That there are people within the context of that program that write down everything they do all day long, right? And report in at the end of the day to something they call a sponsor.
Yeah, for approval.
So they sit and they write down, I did this, I did that, I did this. And then they report in to someone else to be told whether or not that set of activities was correct.
Yeah.
My affirmative rights as an atheist are in total and complete contravention and denial of any activities even remotely related to anything like that, no matter how they peddle it.
Yeah, yeah. Your behavior is supposed to be defined by the 12 steps, essentially.
They peddle it in all kinds of ways, even in the secular context. They love to talk about these days in the secular places. They love to talk about your emotional sobriety.
Right.
As if there was a definition of your emotion.
Or your spiritual sobriety.
When they start trying to, in a so-called secular way, prescribe people's emotional states and behavior, I stand up as an atheist and affirm the contrary. So that's what I meant by that passage in the essay.
Yeah, yeah. The right to be yourself, the right to be an individual. You know, there's a hegemonic aspect to AA, you know?
Oh, well,
everybody's behavior is defined this way, and this is how you should behave, this is what you should be doing, and you know, instead of recognizing...
And when the secular people start talking about emotional sobriety, I really want to ask them, well, whose fucking emotions are we talking about? So that's a sidebar, but it's also another affirmative stance, right?
Yeah.
We, the fact that, as, and again, in my humble opinion, we atheists are responsible for our own emotional state and the consequences thereof. When you step up to your personal responsibility for your own behavior and your own actions, you're taking an affirmative step forward without having somebody tell you that you're going to modify your behavior, or, this is a favorite phrase of yours, modify your personality,
which
is ridiculous.
You know, I saw one of those paid national circuit seekers speakers once, and his whole shtick was that he drank, and we all drank, because we are seeking approval. And the irony is that in AA, all your behavior, you're seeking approval from your sponsor, you're seeking approval from the program for being an individual. And it's a positive affirmation to seek your own approval and to not worry about that, you know, to not try to behave the way you're supposed.
In the way you are within the context of who you are. Now, we have to make some caveats here, of course, because if your behavior is, your sober behavior, right, is causing others pain, and your environment is suffering because of your behavior, just like we modified our behavior as regards our drinking, we can modify our behavior towards others and the effect that we have on others once we become cognizant of that.
Yeah, which is a much lot more easier likely to do.
Look, I mean, I'm not sober. Perfect. There have been plenty of times in my sober life I've had it pointed out to me that I needed to modify my behavior.
Yeah.
And I've done so, right? Well, sometimes I haven't, right? And suffered the consequences, and perhaps learned from that. But I didn't have someone shoving their bill of goods of whatever sort down my throat.
Yeah.
Because the responsibility for that was my own, not someone else's. So that I feel like that sort of thing all fits with the idea of life affirming and, you know, life enhancing behavior and ideas as an atheist. The downside of this, though, is many times there are people that are prone to accuse you of being immoral or amoral because you don't subscribe to a code, that you don't have some sort of book to look into and to sort of live by a certain set of principles or a certain set of prescribed in the litany of that nameless program, a certain set of prescribed steps that you take along the way while marching down the road of happy destiny, all right?
Well, morality is equated with faith in God.
Absolutely.
And immorality is equated with atheists. And, I mean, that's where the definition just gets screwy. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but that's ultimately what most people think. You know?
It's as if they think we don't have a conscience.
Right.
And of course, we do have a conscience. And we subscribe to a set of behaviors and ideals and ideas according to our conscience, what we know and believe to be true, that many of us had to learn the hard way, but we learned, and we know what works with and for others and what doesn't. Going back to those powers of example.
Yeah, those positive examples.
Those ways of living that we saw that we thought made sense for us and we thought we might want to try without being proscribed and told we had to do those things.
Right.
We come about much of this on our own, by our own lights, given our own ideals, given our own principles, given a set of ideas about living that actually worked for us. So, is atheism affirmative? I definitely think so.
Yeah, well, it's actually very definitely I'm life-affirming. It's life-affirming.
Well, it is life-affirming. And it is life-enhancing to be able to honestly say that whatever you've done in this life that has had a positive result was done as a result of your own actions and not through the grace of something or someone else.
Right.
That's the real virtue. Not that there are some Christians that don't do wonderful things. One of my favorite people is Jimmy Carter, all right?
Yeah.
I love Jimmy Carter, all right? Yeah. And he's the most devout lifelong Christian you can think of.
Good example of a positive human.
Good example of a positive human. But it was Jimmy and Rosalind Carter building those homes for the poor, not God. Okay?
Yeah.
They did it.
Yeah.
I love Jimmy because he did that. And amongst many other things, trying to do other good things for people in other places around the world. Stand up for justice and the correct way to do things and to conduct life in through democracy and good governance and that sort of thing. Things done by humans. That's what I believe. I believe in things done by human beings. Yeah, I think that's pretty affirmative.
Yeah, I think the golden rule gets thrown in there too.
Well, there are certain God,
and that has nothing to do with the supernatural world. Right. It's just human to human.
Depending on the God, depending on the society, depending where you are, God can tell you to cross the border and murder 1,200 people.
Yeah, there you go.
And brutalize people. And you can praise God if you listen to the tapes. You can praise God while you're doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Long history of that.
God.
Long history of that.
So, let's be careful about, the implications of belief. Now, I don't want any recovery people listening to this think that I'm accusing the people in that program of doing anything evil like that, which I'm not. But I am saying that in its most extreme forms, that belief in something or someone else directing your activities can have extreme results. And very bad result. So let's think for a second. What's directing and motivating and inspiring our actions and activities? What's taking us in an affirmative direction? Right? the main thing we did to provide ourselves with an affirmative direction was to make that initial decision to stop drinking or using. That was the single best thing we did to set us on a more positive behavioral path, right?
And we can give ourselves credit for having done that. Having made that decision is personal.
Right. And which in turn made us open to understanding the positive examples we were seeing when we went to those meetings associated with other sober people. And we heard their stories. Right?
Yeah.
Which in turn allowed us to modify our behavior in order to have a more positive net effect on ourselves and others. Atheism as affirmation.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, I'm going to use a word that's interesting for people like us to use. And that's the word grace. Right?
Yeah.
When you think of a state of grace, you normally think of somebody who's received something from above or from outside of them somewhere, right? It's the salvation of the grace of God. Okay? When you believe that, you can believe just about anything. You can subscribe to groupthink and be convinced of the proposition that you will never achieve that state of grace unless you encompass exactly the ideals that you're being given and that are being prescribed. And what was being suggested maybe in today's episode was something like this, that the values of self-reliance, self-knowledge, and clarity of mind lead to an actual state of grace, but one that's in the real world. When you have a clear mind, when you have self-reliance and self-knowledge, you really can achieve something of a state of grace within and of yourself. A feeling of calm knowledge that you've done your best, and you've done your best using your own lights and your own resources and your own knowledge of your own self, enjoying the wonders of right, what's right in front of you. We're pushing toward May when I get my postage stamp garden in, and I'll be sitting there enjoying the wonders of my tiny flowers peeking up through the pots. I'm ready. We do get to a point in this journey of ours where we can affirm and understand that the resolutions that we made in sobriety to stop drinking and to start listening to the stories and the examples of others truly took us to a better place. Not through artificial means, but through means of the human spirit and the humanity within us.
And when you're in, when you have an appreciate a sense of hope, I think in a sense that is a state of grace. You're in a positive, good place when you can embrace and see positive examples of hope. And yeah, I think that's the bottom line. I mean, it's finding a positive place on your own with without any supernatural assistance. It's very concrete.
You know, and as one of my favorite religious leaders, the Reverend Al Green, said that we can. I wish I could sing like Al. I would. You know, I saw Al perform once. He was still wonderful, although somewhat decrepit when I saw him. His voice was still good. You know, Al has a song called "Love and Happiness." Right? That's what many of us are looking for. And, you know, like Reverend Al, we can get to that happy song, that love and happiness. But we atheists get there sort of on our own.
Yeah. And with much easier in some respects, without a need for an explanation for it. You know, I don't need to. I know that when my irises bloom, it's because I provided them with dirt and water and a little bit of love, and boom, there you go. You know, they bloom.
There we go. We're back with the gardening thing. It's going to be all summer long. These people are going to be rolling their eyes about us. They can't wait till fall when our gardens die. But it's like I think we got to the, you know, haltingly maybe in some respects. But I think we definitely got to the point of this podcast, which is, you know, trying to discuss atheism as affirmation and sobriety. And gosh, I wish I could sing like Al Green. No, I would sing this out. I just can't. I don't have the fight.
I wish you could too, John.
No, when I was in my college rock and roll band, I had some pipes that I think some of my stuff that happened to my throat sort of preclude that. So no one will have to listen to me try to imitate Reverend Al. That's not part of this story here. So instead of singing you out today, we'll get to the last moments of this and end this in our sort of customary way, which is how.
Peace and love, baby. That's all it comes down to. It's peace and love.
And peace and love to you. In all the nations of the world, wherever this is going out. And we'll say goodbye till next time, when we're going to be talking about coping with politics in the context of recovery. This was the love part and the happiness part. I don't know what the next episode's going to end up being like, but probably won't be as sweet as this. So let's say goodbye for now. Take care.
Yep. Hang on to that atheism as affirmation.